Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good Yay. Evening. Wait. You might wait till I say what I have to say, and then you might repeat that. So anyway, honestly, I wanted to take just a few moments to share an incredible opportunity and door open for Dwayne and I. It was a promise we made 5 years ago. However, for several different reasons, we weren't able to keep it, but now we are. One of them being you allowing us to go and minister and be a part of other people's lives. Anyway, for the next month, we're going to be overseas.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to minister 41 times in 20 days in 5 different countries. We'll be at Bible schools, churches, leadership meetings, conferences, and something else.
On a boat one time.
Yeah, and 10 different planes.
How many planes?
10.
10 different planes.
Yeah, and in cars that drive the wrong way, that drive on the wrong side of the street.
We need
prayed
for is what she's trying to say.
Yes. First off, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being such an incredible body of believers, all of you at Victory Life. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of other people's lives, because we take you with us. We really do. You make it possible. And I know we're leaving you in great hands. Some of the things that Pastor Jacob has on his heart to share with you, you're not going to want to miss. I guarantee you, you will not want to miss it. One last thing, we actually begin our journey in Woodland Park. So Woodland Park, we will Amen. See you Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, Woodland Park.
Yeah, so be there. We look forward to seeing you and begin our journey there. So we love all of you. We covet your prayers while we're gone for safe travel, for the doors that have been opening, that Dwayne will be able to minister well with an interpreter. You'll do awesome. You'll do awesome.
I'm going to get the interpreter saved for sure.
Amen. So we'll also get to see Pastor John and Susan while we're over there. So we'll give them your love. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and let you know that even though you're not going to see us, we're not out golfing or fishing or hunting or anything like that. We are really working and doing the work of the Lord. So we love you guys.
Amen. Amen. I think just hearing 41 times speaking in 20 days in 10 different airlines, 5 different countries, God is good, and we are blessed, and we're going to see lots of people's lives change. So God bless you again. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Father, I love you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for these precious people, their lives, their hearts, their homes, our communities, that all of our Victory Life churches are in, and the impact that they're having. Thank you for the good word of God. It is the most important thing in our lives as believers. Thank you for the opportunity to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been really excited about sharing on the subject of holiness and how that we've been made holy with Christ and what that really looks like and what that really means. And so we've looked at how that our God, the true and the living God, the God who's the God of all gods who are no gods, is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire of purity, of goodness, of kindness, of love. And he's so clean and he's so pure, he burns like this fire that's an unquenchable fire. And the issue in our lives is, how do we relate to this God that is so holy? Out of his holiness comes this fire that consumes anything that's against God and that consumes anything that is against his people, the apple of his eye. And so we've come to a place of hopefully understanding that Jesus and the cross and through the new birth, we have this God on the inside of us in the new creation, and that we have been made righteous. Ephesians 4, 24 talks about we have a new man and that we need to put off the old man, put on this new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Our inner man, your spirit man, the part of you that got born again the day you accepted Jesus, is truly holy in the eyes of God. In other words, your spirit has been so united to this God that is a consuming fire. That fire now is on the inside, and God is working on the inside of you, working His way out in the renewing of our mind. This fire, let me just jump to the conclusion. Hallelujah. This fire on the inside of you is what's purging your mind from the ways and thoughts of the world and changing your mind to the ways and the thoughts of God. So holiness is not necessarily outward or anything to do with our hair, our clothes, or all these outward things, but holiness is the way you think. Worldliness is the condition of our unrenewed minds. Worldliness is the philosophy of man. Worldliness is the wisdom of this world. Worldliness isn't, again, what I was raised up in that was a part of cultural holiness. Worldliness is a mindset, just like holiness now is a mindset that is in agreement with this holy, righteous God. Holiness isn't something I change on the outside to get a change on the inside. Holiness is the revelation of the fire on the inside of me, and as I yield to that fire, it's changing the outside of me supernaturally. Amen. Holiness, and this will probably be my next message, but holiness is a fruit. It's a fruit of the root of the fire of God, Jesus, that's on the inside of us now. So everything in the kingdom starts on the inside of me with a pure heart and then works its way to the outside of me. And that is so important that every believer understands that and learns how to cooperate with this new fire that's on the inside. So let's look at works now. Let's look at our actions. Let's look at good works, because I spent hours in the series on Made Righteous on how that it is not by works of righteousness which you have done that saves you. And that it's not self-righteousness that makes us right with God. You have to be made righteous by faith in the grace of God. But as soon as you teach those things and how you're loved unconditionally, how that God has forgiven you of past, present, and future tense sins, you remember all those things I covered, the first thing that hits people's mind is, well, what about holiness? What about how we live our lives? Are you saying because God's already forgiven us of sins we haven't committed, we can just live like the devil? Amen. How many of you know you can't and you shouldn't and you shouldn't even want to if you got the fire on the inside of you, a new nature in Jesus? But we have to balance out works. There's works in the Christian life. It's just not any works to get something from God. It's works that comes out of our relationship with God. And so you have to understand where works, our conduct, how we live our lives, fits in the Christian, if you will, scheme of the kingdom in order to fulfill our purpose as the people of God. We weren't saved from sin to live in, celebrate, and walk in known, habitual, unrepented sin. God didn't save us from sin to live in sin. God saved us from sin so we could walk with Him now and overcome sin. Amen. Amen? And so a lot of people just don't understand this. I'm actually trying to finish this part up, and I want to get into spirit, soul, and body and deal with how your spirit has been changed, how your mind is being changed, and how do you deal with these bodies that's where sin works in the members of our body, and how do we deal with this stuff? So I'll get to some practicality even of your body later. But let's look at what the scriptures say about this fire, and it's connected to our works, our conduct, our actions in this life. In 1 Corinthians, I've called this holy smoke. And you'll see what I mean by holy smoke here in just a moment as we read these passages. Paul is talking about how the kingdom of God is relational and how that our gifts are all connected and relational. And he talked about his role and Apollos' role, and then how God works with us in our offices, in our gifts, in our calling. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Can you see how we're all working together with God? God's not given us increase without somebody planting. And somebody that plants has to have somebody else that waters. But when I do my part, I usually plant in most cases. In some cases, some of you have already had things planted and I'm watering. But everybody that follows me in ministry is usually watering whatever I've planted. But the bottom line is God and only God can give the increase. But we have to understand we all have a role to play in this, and that I need to be planting, others need to be watering, and we all need to trust God to give us the increase of change in our lives, change in our locations and in our churches. He goes on to say, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he's not putting himself down, and he's not saying we're all worth nothing in the sense of we don't have a role to play. He's simply keeping everything in balance. No matter how important it is that I plant and how important it is that somebody else waters, the most important thing is we all trust God to give us the increase. Amen. Then he goes on to say, now, he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own what? Labor. There are works in the kingdom of God. There's a purpose God's called us to, and we all have hands that God wants us to put to a plow, a specific plow that makes a difference in our world and that labor, and we'll get rewarded in the kingdom to come, is what he's talking about. For we are God's fellow workers. Man, we could spend forever right there. We're God's fellow workers. God's not working without us. We better quit working without God. It's God working in and through us. And so there's this cooperation that every believer needs to begin to understand how God works in their lives. There's usually two extremes. We're trying to do everything in our personal lives and blaming God when nothing changes. Or we're sitting back waiting on God to do everything and then still blame God when nothing changes. Many times in our churches, we're just waiting on God. Well, God's waiting on us. And so we're either just sitting and tarrying and waiting, and then again, blaming God when things aren't changed, or we just leave God and try to get it done as a church on our own. The truth is, we've got to have that perfect tension and that perfect balance of being a co-laborer together with God. It's God working with us. It's Christ in you, the hope of all glory. He says, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. We're God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Notice he said it was grace in his life that made him a wise master builder. It was grace in him by faith responding and leaning into the grace of God that caused the foundation to be laid. And then he says, look, we have to have it built upon now. Just make sure that those of us who are building on the foundation, the next verse is going to tell us who and what that foundation is. We've got to understand grace in our lives to build properly. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw or stubble, each one's work will become clear for the day. Do you recognize that phrase? Yeah. Countless numbers of scriptures, I've showed you the day. There's a day, one day coming that Jesus will appear in his kingdom. He's referring back to it now, same language, for the day will declare it. It what? Our works. And were they gold, silver, and precious stones? Or were our works wood, hay, and straw? Because it will be revealed by what? Man, you just can't get around this truth and this understanding of our God as a consuming fire, and that we relate to that fire by faith now, and that fire this everlasting destruction to the world is a blessing to us who believe now. He says it's going to reveal our works, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If any man's work which he has built on endures, or on it endures, he will receive a reward. So see, there are rewards coming for our works of faith obedience. There are rewards coming for our good works, our holiness that comes out of our relationship with Jesus and the foundation of Jesus in our heart and lives, God's grace responded to in faith actions. Those are works, and we will be rewarded for those works. And everything we've done, both good or bad, is going to be tried and tested the minute Jesus is unveiled. And I've talked to you about this for a few hours. That fire is going to now purge and test everything we've done in this life, good and bad. What did we do of our own accord? Wood, hay, and stubble. What did we do by grace through faith? Gold, silver, precious stones. What did we do out of our love for God and a byproduct of loving God and loving people? That's gold. That's silver. That's precious stones. Or what did we do out of our flesh to get God to love us? Wood, hay, and stubble. It's all going to be everything we've done, good or bad, is going to be tested by this fire. And if it was of God, if it came out of a pure heart, you're going to get rewarded for it. But if not, it's going up in a puff of smoke. And holy smoke, hallelujah, is going up in holy smoke. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Even our salvation is going to be tested. Is it by grace through faith? Is it because we saw God's love and we're loving him back? Is it an understanding it's not my holiness, my righteousness, but I've been made these things by faith in Jesus? That too will be tested by that fire. Look at this. This is huge. Now, I teach this in leadership classes. How we build, not what we build, is what we'll be rewarded for. How we live our lives is what we're going to be rewarded for, not what. A lot of churches, you could build a church and nobody in it be saved. There's lots of people that's got lots of money. They could just decide we're going to get 50 people together and it's all rich people and they just want a pretty building and they just want to have a show in the community that we're good people. And they pay the thing off, and it's $10-20 million facility and all the best furnishings, and it was all done out of ego. It was all done out of look at us. It was all done out of our own goodness. If Jesus appears today, he is such a consuming fire, that church, those furnishings, everything is going up in a puff of smoke. It's going to be a pile of ashes. Then their very salvation is going to be tried by that same fire. I'd rather everybody be saved now and we not have such a nice facility and junky chairs and we get rewarded and we're all saved in the day of the Lord than to have all these nice things and it all be of the flesh. It all be for show. I'm not saying God doesn't want us to have a $20 million building. That's not what I'm saying. And if it comes out of love for him, love for our community, God's blessed us, and it's all with a pure motive, it will pass the test and remain in the kingdom to come. Amen. See, this is something I feel like a lone ranger in. You don't hear this very much. But everybody acts like the whole world's going to be destroyed. Even the world is talking about the world ending and just totally being annihilated through climate change, and everything's going to collapse and everything's going to burn to a crisp. No, whatever's of God on this planet in the return of Jesus is going to remain on this planet. God loves this planet. This is a part of his creation. It's a part of his redemptive plan. And even the bad weather, the hurricanes, the hemicanes, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, all the groaning that's taking place in the planet Because of the fall of man and because of sin in the world, when that sin is totally purged by this fire, this planet will be back the way God intended it to be. No chiggers, hallelujah. No mosquitoes. Those are of hell. If you go to hell, you're going to be ate up with chiggers and mosquitoes. That's why I don't want you to go. I want you to be a part of the... That is pretty funny. You don't want to go to hell. There's mosquitoes there, man. There's a new heaven and a new earth that is a part of God's redemptive plan, and we, the new creation, are headed toward that. And what I'm trying to say is, we don't have to wait for the appearing of Jesus to know our works. We can let the fire on the inside try what we're doing right now. I get before God every day. I get before God at times in seasons where I ask, let that which is on the inside of me purge what's not of you on the outside. Amen. I don't want to stand there in the day of judgment. I don't want to stand in the fire, the consuming fire of God, and my whole life go up in smoke. I want what I've laid my hand to not only remain, my fruit remain. I want my fruit to be of Jesus, and in the day of the Lord, I'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded for all the good fruit in your life that came out of love for God, that came out of a pure heart, that came out of grace through faith. Paul again laid the foundation by grace through faith. We build by grace now through faith. Amen. And the day of the Lord will declare what your works are. And here's some good news about sin. Sin is a part of your flesh. Sin is a part of a work that many of us enter into, that we don't have to wait for the day of the Lord to judge that. We can repent. And God can purge us and our conscience from mistakes we make. But there will be millions of people that will stand in the presence of the Lord, and the good news is their sin, their bad works, won't be held against them, and their salvation, it just gets burned up too. All sin that's bad works gets burned up. Amen. All self-righteousness that we call good works will be burned up. Amen. And the only thing that'll remain is our love for God. And what did we do? Out of a pure heart. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, there'll be preachers that are going to be so disappointed, because even their ministering isn't out of a love for God and a love for people. It's not out of what's burning on the inside of them. They're even doing things outwardly to be pleasing to God. The good news is their salvation will be purged and go through that fire, and they'll be saved. But they're going to suffer great loss. Entire groups are going to suffer great loss. And the good news today is we don't have to wait for this day of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of purging. Today is the day of getting your house in order, dear ones. We're not just wasting time. We're not just having services and going through the motions. I'm believing God. We may be the last generation. There are things happening behind the scenes that are things I've believed God for 40 years that are supernaturally opening up. And there could be either a third great awakening on the horizon for God's people that are willing to stand up and be the church that God's called us to be. Or we're coming into that last day and the day of the Lord in which He is preparing a bride without spot or wrinkle. I've been misunderstood by my holiness friends. I was raised Pentecostal holiness, and I, you know, it's difficult to be real and be yourself and not come across wrong to certain people. You're not going to make everybody happy if you're real and you're honest. And so I'll make my comments about how I was raised in Pentecostal holiness. And those people's hearts were good. They really wanted to be holy. But man, it was misery. Man, it was fear. Man, they used condemnation and all these things. And because I've had to come against all of that stuff, many of those people think I'm against holiness and living a holy life. Because I preach so much grace and God's love, and He loves everybody and He loves us all the same. A lot of people can twist that and think you don't believe in holiness or good works or our actions matter. And they do. They just don't matter to get anything from God. They don't matter to leverage God. They don't matter to blackmail God. Amen. God, you're going to heal me now because look at my hairdo. Your hair is going to go up in flames one day if you think it's the source of your holiness. I prefer you understanding holiness and keep your hair at the return of the Lord. Hallelujah. God, you're going to heal me now because I don't dress like other people dress, or I don't go where other people go, or I don't do what other people do. That is terrible, terrible thinking. And it's not going to earn you a thing in the day of the Lord and in the kingdom to come. And yet, if you got around me personally, you'd know I believe in personal holiness and that we need to be holy. But it's not always made clear why be holy or how to be holy. And that's what I'm trying to counter now is, look, it starts with knowing you already are holy on the inside. And whatever you're messing up on the outside, just let the Lord purge it right now through repentance. Amen. Amen. Our works will be revealed by fire. Now, the next two verses. Do you not know? I should have put that in yellow. Do you not know? And I'm telling you, there are millions of Christians in our nation, not to mention worldwide, that do not know this. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells where?
In you.
This consuming fire that never changes dwells in you. Now, you may not feel it. You may not understand it. When I get into spirit, soul, and body, it's as if God has sealed your spirit, your born-again spirit, in such a way that you can't feel good or bad. I need to save this, but it won't go away. But I was in a line, and this lady, bless her heart, she was just not real happy with me, and she was contentious about it, and she was going, I know what the Bible says, but I can't feel it. Surely if God moved on the inside of me, you could just tell she had a miserable life. If God moved on the inside of me, if I'm born again and that fire's in me, how come I can't feel it? And you just after a while, next. And I don't know. I know it was God spoke to me finally, because people say that all the time. Well, why can't I feel it? If all this is true, I would feel it. You talking about God of the universe, a consuming fire brighter than the noonday sun, S-U-N, the S-O-N, is 100 times hotter than the sun and it's on the inside of me? Well, why can't I feel it? And boy, the Lord just rose up on the inside of me and I looked at her and said, good thing you can't feel it. Yeah, it's hitting some of you right now. It would burn you to a crisp. You'd be fried to the toenail if God had not sealed your spirit and protected you, because you're so unholy out here and so dumb up here. His wisdom would fry your peanut. It would roast your peanut. So God sealed your spirit with the Holy Spirit of promise so nothing can get in there that's unholy. And the pure holiness can't get out except by faith. You have to believe for it to begin to feel it. I'll explain all that for the five that come back. Do you not know? Most people don't know. You're the temple of God. This is the next verse. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. That's a hard scripture. He's not talking about right now. If somebody slapped me because I'm the temple of God, God's going to get them. No, there's a day coming that just righteousness and holiness will be manifest on the planet, that people who live like that will be destroyed. And I showed you all those scriptures. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you
are?
Thank you for that thunderous applause. Everybody sit back down. I know the location. Sit back down. Everybody's excited. I get it. Do you not know you are the temple of God And God dwells within you, and the temple is holy. The temple doesn't have to do this, do this, do this, do this to become holy. Quit this, quit this, quit this, quit this to become holy. The temple is holy. You've been made holy with Jesus. The reason we need to live holy lives is because we're holy. But see, most people, because they can't feel it, they don't know the Bible, they haven't become a disciple, they don't understand that part of you is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. They think they're the same old person that they were before they got saved. And they just think that their sin nature cannot be overcome. And their desire for the things of the world. And we just got to hope and pray we make it until the end. And on it goes with the bad theology. We have to understand we are the temple of God. And the temple is holy. So because you are holy, you need to act like it. Amen. I can't tell many times in raising my children, I would say, they would say, one of them especially, they would say, I'm just bad. I just can't obey. I'm just bad. And I would say, no, no, no. You are good in Jesus. You just got to learn how to act like it. They were getting their actions mixed up with their identity. And I've spent my whole life teaching you who you are, because once you see by revelation who you are, you know what you're supposed to do now. And if everybody knew this, God lives in you. Well, should I go there? Should I go here? I don't have to answer that for you. Where do you want to take God? Well, can a Christian who's forgiven of past, present, and future tense sin, can he go to a strip bar? And is that okay since grace is there? And God's already forgiven me before I do it. And he loves me unconditionally. There's nothing I can do right or wrong to get him to love me any more or love me any less. Is it okay to go to a strip bar? I don't know. You think God will have a good time at the strip bar? Ask God. You're God's limousine. You're the driver. He's in the back seat. Strip bar tonight? I know you love me. My flesh just says it. Well, I won't tell what your flesh is saying. Can you imagine if we all just understood you're taking God everywhere you go? Should I attend this kind of a... Never mind. The bottom line is the temple's holy. Which temple? You are. Our works, they're works of faith, out of God's grace is holiness. The fire within is purging us without, and that's holiness. The fire from within is purging our minds and transforming our lives. All right. Not by, but for. Everybody say, not by, but for. Let's try it at our locations. Not by, but for. Okay, you guys need to help the locations. I couldn't hear them at all. You ready? Not by, but for. All right, we're ready. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. God recreated you. God has changed you on the inside. God has adopted you into his family, created in Christ Jesus for what? Which God prepared before that we should walk in them. God, before he changed you and gave you the ability to do the right thing, now had a plan of good works. But good works do not save us. We are not saved by our works, but we are saved for good works. Now, I know for some people that refuse to go from a convert to a disciple, that gets confusing. But there's a point where we got to balance this works thing out, and we all have to understand in simplicity, my good works don't save me. God saved me for my good works. Amen. You didn't get saved from sin for bad works. You got saved from sin for good works. And it's a process in your life. Lots of people, myself included, I got saved, and it took a while to deal with some bad works, bad attitudes, bad actions, bad language. But that fire was on the inside of me. And now, because I got changed in here, when a bad work manifested because of the nature of my carnal side, I was quick to want to turn from that. Because God didn't recreate me for bad works. He recreated me for good works that He had planned before the foundations of the world. So holiness is a part of the good works of God in your life that God has saved you for. In Luke 1:74, we being delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve Him without fear in what? And righteousness before Him all the days of our life. So see, we're serving God now in holiness. We're not trying to be holy to get to serve God. We're not trying to be holy to get God to love us. We're not trying to be holy to please God. No, we're made holy, and because we are pleasing by faith, our faith has action that is called holiness in the kingdom of God that pleases God. Amen. That pleases God. Philippians 2:12-13. My beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. In other words, you have all locations and this location have obeyed so well in my presence. Over the next month, make sure you obey without my presence. Oh, come on, that was good. That was good. But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear or respect and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Can you see how that God is working in His good pleasure into my heart and His will? And now by faith, I got to work it out. Everything good in your life starts in here, in your heart. It's already in your spirit. Every good thing that all of heaven enjoys is in your spirit, man, your new birth, your born again spirit. And now you simply are working out what God's doing within. See, if I'm gonna help somebody and it be a work that is a good work that before the foundations of the world God preordained and now I will be rewarded for, it comes out of love for God and love for somebody. If I try to help somebody and it's just to be seen of men and it's just to get a pat on my back, you better enjoy that pat because that's all you're gonna get. Both look like a good work, right? But one has a pure motive, comes out of the heart for God and heart for people. The other comes out of your flesh. And it may be a good work, but it's hay, wood, and straw. And I recommend not waiting for the day of the Lord to have it tested. I recommend you test it as you walk with the fourth man in the fire. That's on the inside of you. That's on the inside of you. All right. Holy temple again. We are a holy temple. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Remember, the world is lawless. When you hear people in high-powered places flaunt the law, dismiss the law, that's the spirit of Antichrist, the lawless one. That's right. Amen or on me, I just said a lot. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Almost looks like he jumped from us now to Christ, but how many of you know you're one spirit with the Lord? You're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone as the body of Christ. He says, what accord does Christ have with Belial, the devil? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Yes. Therefore. Therefore, come out from among them. See, he didn't say, come out from among them now, and then I will be your God, and I will live in you. No, because he lives in you, because you are his temple, therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. I talked to you for a whole hour about what that looks like. Says the Lord, do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God's temple, can I get a witness, is holy. God dwells in us and among us, and we've seen that sacred space. It's sacred space. Verse 17 says, therefore, come out. Because God's already called you out, because God's already saved you, and God's already made you righteous and truly holy, act like it. Come out from among. See, I'm not coming out to look down on the world. I'm not coming out to condemn the world. I'm not coming out to be self-righteous or condescending or snarky to people who don't know Jesus. I've met some of those so-called Christians. No. I'm coming out because God's already brought me out in Christ, hallelujah. And the right thing to do is lay down that old man and that conversation, take up my new man that is righteous and truly holy now. Man, this is huge. Thank you. Thank you. In one way, this can sound so elementary, but I'm telling you, it's profound in people's lives, their understanding. That holiness isn't something I'm doing or changing to get God to accept me. Holiness is just this fire burning in me that I don't want to be like the world. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to sound like the world. I want to sound like Jesus. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean everything's perfect on the outside. Or in my carnal, unrenewed mind. It doesn't mean I'm better than anybody else. I could spend hours on what it doesn't mean that the church has thought it's meant, that has literally pushed the world away. Again, if you say holy, everybody ducks. But when you understand holiness from God's perspective and from the New Testament revelation of we're already made it, and it's just a fire burning in us, and that I don't want to do that anymore, because I sense God on the inside of me pulling me away. He come out. It's not like even my own strength or power. I'm going to come out. No, God is bringing you out. Amen. Let go. What's happening in most cases is God's trying to drag you out of the world and you just won't let go. All God's saying is let go. And let God have his way, this consuming fire. And I promise you, holiness will just be a byproduct of walking with Jesus. Am I the only one that's hung out with the wrong crowd before? Don't raise your hand. I'm sorry. Don't raise your hand. That wrong crowd might be right next to you. Oh, I'm having too much fun here. I hate to admit, but while I thought I was a leader in my younger days, I was more of a follower. I just got around a certain kind of person, liked them. And all of a sudden, I started talking like them, started thinking like them. I can remember being pulled. It took me a few years to backslide. And I can remember friends literally dragging me to a bar. And I was so uncomfortable. But that peer pressure, and it wasn't as bad. I didn't get struck by lightning. Nobody hit on me. Oh, come on, people hit on me every day now. Got another story going here. We were in a store and Jacob was standing by me. This was years ago. And this woman started hitting on me and Jacob just freaked out. He couldn't believe anybody would hit on his dad. Amen. He couldn't say a word. He just watched her hitting on me. Anyway. So you didn't feel comfortable, but then all of a sudden you go back. And now you're just acting like them, you're talking like them, you're thinking. Okay, everybody understands that, amen? Well, why not hang out with Jesus? You know what might happen? You might just naturally start talking like him. You might just naturally start walking like him. And you might just naturally start thinking like him. Amen. And I just thank God he's so patient with all of us. Nobody has anything to fear.
Well, man, if I give my life to Christ in this service, I've got to change.
That's one of the reasons I held back even in recommitting, is I had this thought. If I commit, I don't want to be a hypocrite, and I've got to be 100% right in everything now and 100% holy. It literally scared me away from God. Once I found out God loves me unconditionally and he'll just put the fire on the inside of me, and if I just walk with him every day, I will supernaturally be changed. And you will supernaturally be changed. Amen. Father, I thank you for your goodness in our lives. I thank you that the fire is on the inside of us and that it's purging us, it's pruning us, it's preparing us for the day of the Lord, the great and terrible day of the Lord. Man, that used to confuse me. The great and terrible day of the Lord. Thank you that that is a day we will dance in the fire. It'll be a terrible day for the world, but a great, great day for the kingdom of God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.